Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pastor Khalid, and as always, thank you for tuning in to the Redemption Church podcast here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, we start a new series, and it's a question that I want us to answer over the next several weeks for ourselves. Where is the fruit? I'm not even going to explain what this means. Just take a listen. I know this will bless you, and it will get you excited about what's to come in this series. God bless. So we are starting a new series today. Our last series was fun, but in this series is going to be fun too. It's going to be challenging, but I think it's also relevant considering our current reality. And our series is in the form of a question. And that question that we will have to answer and explore together is, where is the fruit? Where is the fruit? Fruit, for those of us who do not know, is symbolic for spiritual productivity, Jason. In addition to spiritual productivity, fruit is synonymous or is symbolic of evidence of several things regarding our spirituality. In a more basic sense, fruit suggests or it provides evidence that God is real to us. It reveals that we believe in God. So much so that the work he does on the inside of us shows on the outside of us. I think now, considering the climate, the political, social, and religious climate of our country, we're asking the wrong questions, lawyer. We're asking questions like, are you vaccinated? Are you Democrat, Republican? Are you liberal, conservative? What's your stance and what's your agenda on this? And really, at the end of the day, all of those questions are a distraction from the real question. Where is the fruit? Because if we're so busy answering questions that are aligned to political and social agendas that perpetuate division, we lose sight of why we are believers to begin with, which is to produce fruit. And the fruit is not for us, it's for the glory of God. And the more fruit we produce, the more we can save lost people. So where is the fruit? I understand that you have a great relationship with your children and you have a great relationship with your spouse and you're good on your job and all these other things. But where is the fruit? Where is the evidence to suggest that we as believers are going to restore the climate that we're living in now? Because if we don't produce any fruit, there's no hope. There's no love. There's no truth that the world will be drawn to. So, Keila, my question remains, where is the fruit? We're answering all these other questions, but yet we haven't done a self-assessment and truly considered aspects of our lives that reflect that God is real to us. So much so that people can see it before we open our mouths. We're going to look at John chapter 15 to set the tone for our conversation today. And this will be our foundation that we will build upon for the weeks to come. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. And last two verses, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. If I had to pick a topic today to commence our series, it would be stay connected. We can't talk about the Holy Spirit doing a work in our lives, Pope, if we're not connected. We can't talk about the things that we want to stand on or lean on as evidence to suggest spiritual productivity if we're not connected. And if you're not connected, I guess another title would be get connected. Because there are a lot of people who come to church that produce no fruit. There are a lot of people who cry, Lord, 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 that produce no fruit. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to reveal to his disciples. It is one thing that if you desire to see fruit and spiritual productivity in your life, you have to be connected to me.
Yes, Lord.
And I think in a more general sense, I want to take time to understand the connection. And the connection is revealed in verses 1 and 2. And please put on your thinking caps, because I think that if us allowing ourselves to look at this scripture through a more analytical lens, we will greater appreciate Jesus's words. And in verse 1 and 2, we understand the connection in a more basic sense, and we're going to break it down. But he says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Let's look at the Father. The Father is the gardener. That means the Father is the creator and the caretaker of the connection. He is the one who's responsible for the connection to begin with. There is no connection with Jesus unless the Father says, I'm going to create one. Jesus says that my Father is the gardener. He cuts off and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. We understand the idea of creation, but I want to talk about how our Father is a caretaker of the grapevine. There's this term called pruning that I want to make us privy to. Hold on to your hats. This concept of pruning, I looked at it more closely, and it's quite fascinating. The gardener has a responsibility to preserve the overall well-being and health of the tree. So as he monitors and cares for the tree, he does this thing called pruning. Pruning is the evaluation of the overall structure of the tree or the body, and he looks at aspects of the tree that are dead or no longer useful. After concluding, this is the overall health and well-being, and the big picture is long-term, I want this tree to be healthy, I want it to remain healthy, the gardener then looks at branches that are dead and says, there's no longer a use for you anymore. And if you stay attached to this tree that I want to be healthy, that I want to be productive, if I allow the dead branches to remain attached to this tree, it affects the overall well-being or health of the tree altogether.
Come on.
So in the body of Christ, as God is pruning, how many of us are considered detrimental to the overall well-being to the body of Christ?
Oh my God.
As God examines and analyzes the state of the church today, as he examines the health of the church today, and he prunes the body of Christ, how many of us are running the risk of being detached from Jesus Christ? Not because the Father is mean. Not because he's no longer loving and gracious. He understands that the body of Christ is much bigger than us being detrimental to the body altogether. Not only is he a creator, but he's a caretaker. In addition to that, we have Jesus Christ, who is the source of the connection. In addition to that, we have, and they're all connected. I want us to understand the connection between God the Father and God the Son. Christ is the source of the connection. The gardener is the Father. He creates, and he's put Jesus Christ in place as the connector.
Yes.
He says, I am the true grapevine. Now, I have to break this down from a historical and theological perspective. What Jesus is saying here is extremely controversial. He gathered the disciples around in the upper room. Judas has just betrayed them, and he's having a conversation with the 11, and he says, I am the true grapevine. Now, let's start with I am. When we go back to the Old Testament as a way for God to solidify his existence, and he's having a conversation with Moses, and Moses asks a question, what if they don't believe me? He says, go to them and say that I am sent you.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, well, what if he's I am that I am. So whatever you need, I am that. And so we fast forward to Jesus. Jesus is echoing the words of his Father to solidify his existence. He says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am, I am, I am. In the New Testament, he's echoing the words of his Father. And in this private conversation that we become privy to with the disciples, he says, I am the true grapevine. Now, this is also interesting because when we see in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophets and the writers of the Old Testament, they refer to Israel as the vine. Oh my goodness. See, in order to establish a connection with God, you had to be selected, hand selected to be identified as the children of Israel.
Yes.
And if you weren't a part of the children of Israel, that connection was problematic. And Jesus says, Israel is cool, but I'm here to save Jew and Gentile.
Yes. Yes.
And if you want a connection with the Father, I know Israel was once the vine. I, Jesus Christ, I am now the true vine. He says, not only I am, but I am the vine. I am the connection. I understand your theological perspective. I understand what the priests and the rabbis taught you. But before I die, I need you to know that when I raise up again, I am the one and only true connection you need to restore a relationship with the Father.
Yes.
He says, I am the true grapevine. And if you don't understand that, you can never be connected to my Father. My Father sent me. I left my rightful place in heaven to be your connection.
My God.
There's nothing you have to do other than believe. There's nothing you do have to do other than to strive to stay connected.
Yes, God. Yes.
And then there are the branches. We are the recipients of the connection. The Father is the gardener. He creates the connection. Jesus Christ is the source of the connection. And we are on the other end of that connection. But unfortunately, we treat God, we treat the connection like we're charging our iPhones. When I'm on E, when there's red in my life, when there's danger in my life, I'll plug in the connection. When there's a crisis, I don't want to run the risk of losing communication altogether. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't want to run the risk of being totally depleted. So just when I'm on E and I get an indication that there's 20% life left in me, then I'll go connect to the source again. We are recipients of the connection, lawyer, but if we're honest, I don't think we really appreciate it. Because it's used as a lifeline in regards to in moments of desperation. It's not a lifestyle. It's not something we choose every day. It's something we do when we feel like it or when we feel like we absolutely need it. So that's just the connection. There's some things about being connected that I want to share with you. Now we understand contextually, historically, and from a theological perspective, what the connection is. I want to talk about how connection, what it means to us today.
Teach us.
Verse 4 makes it very clear, remain in me and I will remain in you. And so Jesus says a connection is a choice. I ain't chasing you.
Come on.
You choose to remain in me. And when you choose to remain in you, I'll respond accordingly and say, yeah, we can stay connected.
Come on.
Connection is a choice. Jesus Christ has done all the work.
Yes, he has.
And he says, now you got to meet me halfway. There are some things that I want to give us to make sure we understand how to connect and the option that we have to connect. First and foremost, we should read, believe, and apply the word of God.
Yes.
These are all three different things to do. I want to take my time if you're okay with that. Reading the word of God is God's roadmap and instruction to becoming like Christ. How, if I don't understand the answers to be like, if I never open my book called the Bible, how can I learn about a God that I so-called serve?
Yes, teach.
How can I learn about a God who saved me if I don't open the book to read about them? And here's the secret. It's a cheat code. It's a cheat code. Like all the answers you need. My Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So every crisis we're facing, be it racial division, health pandemics, issues with sexuality, issues with adultery, issues with corrupt leaders, issues with deceitful leaders, all of that has been done before. And yet we're scratching our heads trying to reinvent the wheel because we don't read our Bibles. We're trying to write new books and provide new tips and new tricks to something that's already been addressed. And Jesus is saying, if you want to learn about me, if you want to learn how to be like me, come holler at me in the good book. It's just that simple.
You better teach them.
So in reading it, we have a choice to believe it. I stopped arguing with people about the word of God a long time ago. There's a quote that I heard years ago. Don't argue with fools because people watching won't know who is who. I'll say it again for those of you who are taking notes. Don't argue with fools because people watching won't know who is who. So it's not my job to defend the Bible, but I have an opportunity to apply the word of God. And if you don't want to believe, that's fine. And if it turns out that there are things that we don't agree on, that's cool. It's called free will. But I'm not going to take you to the Romans or Corinthians or whatever if you never have in your mind you want to believe with altogether. So I can't convince you to believe, but I'm going to choose to believe. And in my believing, I then will apply the word of God.
Yes.
One of my brothers puts it this way. Once you understand truth, you are obligated to respond.
Yes. That's it.
So we read, we believe. Then we apply. This is how we choose to stay connected. In addition to that, we have to choose his will over our will in our lives. This is a hard one, Adrian, because we get lost in what we want to do. We get lost in how we feel. We get lost in what we prioritize. But if we really want to stay connected to the source, we got to understand we can't always have our way. Can I be real for a second? I think many of us, we're just a bunch of spoiled believers. We soft. We throw tantrums when God don't give us what we want, when he understands what we need. And we throw fits because it really ain't about his will. It's about our will. And we treat God like a Santa Claus. We treat God like we view a president. We want a president to be all the things that we want when really no president is going to give us everything that we want. And ultimately, we expect God to bend to our agenda. We're looking, thank you. We're voting for Christ to be our president, which means that do you align with what I want?
Come on.
Wow.
Or do I submit to what you want?
Mm.
Next.
My God.
Meaningful. That's a key adjective there. Not just prayer. Meaningful prayer and meditation. Don't get lost in the hustle and bustle that you forget to sit your behind down and pray and meditate.
Yeah. That's
it. Sit down somewhere. We're so caught up in how busy we are that we're not busy with Christ. When the last time we sat down and said, Lord, speak to me.
Yeah.
Lord, I haven't heard your voice in quite some time, and I own that. I've been busy and focused on everything but you. Speak to me. When's the last time we've drowned out all the noise and made meaningful connection and time for God? Last but not least, as far as making connection and connection being a choice, meaningful fellowship with others. Now, I need to put this in here because there are times that I'm hard on folks. We're hard on folks collectively when we slip away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not merely about butts and seats. It's about the concept that 1 week turns to 2 weeks and 2 weeks turn to four and four turns to 8 weeks. And before you know it, you're out of fellowship.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're not in fellowship, the enemy will have a field day with you. And let me address this notion. Yes, you can have church in your home.
Come on now.
You should have church in your home.
Come on.
But we cannot forsake the assembly. We cannot forsake the assembly because it's something about when we come together from different homes, from different issues, from different priorities. But there's a common thread that connects us all, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus. That's to give him what is owed. So don't forsake the assembly. Meaningful fellowship can never be compromised. Verse 4, 5, and 6. For a branch cannot, here's what the last two thoughts I want to give us are things that you can bank on when you remain connected. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Here's the thought I want to give us. When you are connected, you experience purpose. When you are not connected, the word of God says you are useless. If you're not producing anything, the word of God says God will cut you off. God will cut you off altogether because you're a detriment to the body. And if you're not connected, you find no purpose. So we're dead men walking. On the surface, we're accomplishing a lot of things from a worldly perspective, but spiritually, we have no resume. Because God has cut us off. Here's what I think the issue is in the Western church. And I can't take credit for this, but I agree with it. An Indian pastor put it this way. He said that the Western church, they're relying on a Moses experience to connect with God. Let me explain what that means. The children of Israel would wait for Moses to go to the mountain, get a word from God, and then Moses would deliver the word to his people. I think what we do, Vivian, is we go to church and we expect the pastor to go to the mountaintop. We want the preacher to go to mountaintop and come back and deliver a word. And we never go to the mountaintop on our own. God says it's good that you go to the assembly. It's good that you hear from the man or woman of God, but you have a direct connection to me. And if we don't utilize our connection appropriately, we become useless to the body of Christ. This is why theologically there's so many doctrines out there, because we never go to the mountaintop ourselves. Well, pastor said it. It must be true. No. Is it possible that some pastors have a hidden agenda? Is it possible that some pastors are more driven by power than the purpose of God? Is it possible that some pastors are not really called to be pastors? They're just people with a title and not called according to the word of God. Is it possible? So I encourage you to fact check me every Sunday. It's your duty. It's your responsibility to go to the mountaintop on your own. Don't wait. The Moses generation. I ain't Moses. I'm Khalid. So if you're waiting for Khalid to go get a word and bring it back to you, and you never go to God for yourself, what are you saved for? What are you saved for? Are you saved for a life insurance policy so you don't go to hell? Is that it? Or are you saved so you can benefit from the connection and actually do something for the kingdom of God? What are we saved for? Where's the fruit? We've mastered religion. We've mastered tradition. We've mastered all of these other things to suggest that we are finding purpose. But where is the fruit? Yo, I ain't Moses, man. I have the same God that lives in me. I hope he lives in you. The same God that lives in me and who reveals his agenda, his plan and purpose for my life. Guess what? He can do the same thing for you.
Yes, he can.
Verse 2 and 5, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. It's quite simple. Connection inevitably brings about production in your life. You have access to purpose, and purpose grants you access to productivity when you stay connected. But let me tell you something. You can't bank on the Holy Spirit to do anything in your life if you don't know Jesus Christ. You can't be productive if you're not connected to the source. And we get so caught up in so many other things. So many other things. But where is the fruit? We're going to talk about several things over the next several weeks. Because I'm telling y'all, when I look at the world and the way things are happening in this country, the church is responsible.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, yes. You better say this word. My God, yes, we are.
The moral compass starts with the church.
Yes, it does.
What is acceptable starts with the church. But if people come to church and they feel like they're in a nightclub, I just rolled up with you 2 weeks ago and now you playing on the keys? You was just in my inbox on Facebook and Instagram, but you own a drum. I'm not saying that's the case for them. But people become confused on what holiness and righteousness is.
You better help us.
And so if morality and what is ethical becomes cloudy, society suffers.
Yes.
Where's the fruit? Here's the big idea. Productivity begins with a meaningful connection to Jesus Christ. Meaningful. Not just, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. He did hear your cry.
Yes, he did. It ain't ever wrong.
I hear you, Miss Sarah. You be on my podcast every time you hear. Productivity begins with a meaningful connection to Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Redemption Church of Fort Wayne, Indiana's audio podcast with Pastor Khalid Griffin. Tune in every Monday morning and don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share with others. Until next week, stay blessed.